Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Coach Chanel Butt, and I am on the Selfless Love Talk Show. Today, I am honored to present to you our very special guest, Aisha Bowles. Aisha, welcome to the show. I am excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We do have guests that are on, listeners that are on. And so, you know, I welcome all of my listeners, our listeners, to the Selfless Love Talk Show. I would like for you all to mute your phone on your end. And we will be having a Q&A today. And so I will, at that point, when I open it up for Q&A, I will actually have you all laugh. So that's why I need you in the background to have your phones muted. Aisha, the floor is yours. Would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself personally for us, please?
Sure, sure. So I am Aisha Bowles, and I am a wife and mother and minister and grandmother and counselor and published author and counselor. You know, I have a number of titles that come along with who I am, but my most important title is Woman of God. And today I am coming to you always, first and foremost, as a child of God, but I'm also coming as a woman and as a mother who is married to a wonderful man of God and also raising children of God in a very, 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 very critical time in our society and our world. And just want to offer some insights and some thoughts around how we take care of ourselves, how we view ourselves, and how we move forward in these coming days to ensure that we are taking care of ourselves and those that we are charged to as we move forward in this critical time. And I just, of course, I want to start off by saying, Chanel, I so thank you. Just first and foremost for being my friend and my sister for over 30 years now, you know, and that I feel so honored and blessed that God saw fit to keep us attached to one another all these years, from being those little nappy head little girls in the project, and to now be wives and ministers and counselors and coaches and all those different areas that God has called us to at this time in our lives. And I'm so godly proud of you for sticking to the plan that God has for you. It's not easy. You know, when we're dealing with all of our personal struggles and trying to figure out who we are at different points and seasons, to stick to the plan. But clearly, based on how God is using you at this point, you are sticking to the plan. So I'm so godly proud of you, and I thank you for this time.
Amen. Amen. And I don't even know what else to say except for the exact same thing. I'm honored to have you as well. I'm proud of us both. And I just know that the lives that are going to be touched and that the people that God brings into our spaces, it won't be the same. They won't be the same. And it's a testament to, you know, our lifestyles, what we have overcome. You know, and so, again, I'm just so happy and excited to have everybody on today. Bless you all, because I know that Minister Aisha has some of you coming in from her group, the mother's group, and this is just a blessing to be in one place. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. When we open up for Q&A, please, whatever it is that you would like to ask or share, you're welcome to do so. We welcome you. Mm-hmm. So thank you, sis, and you got it.
Yes, absolutely. So those of you who are tuning in today, I would just ask one favor of you, and that is for you to grab a pen and a piece of paper, or if you are an artsy person like myself and some of the young women in my mom's group, if you are an artistic person, to grab your artistic tool, whether that is a tablet with some colored pencils or a marker, whatever your your tool of expression is. I am going to ask for you to grab that. All of us are creative in one way or another. Some of us sing, some of us dance, some of us write, some of us draw, some of us do all of those things. But I'm asking for you during this time to grab your tool. So pen and paper, if you're a writing type, or if you are an artistic type, you know, grab your color pencils and all your little gadgets. Because what I want for you to do, I want this to be an exploration time for all of us as I share, because anytime I feel that God has blessed me to be of a part of a platform, that platform is to be used for the purpose of refreshment and transformation for others. And so today we're going to do some exploration. As I shared in my introduction, I do have a number of roles and titles that each one is a miracle. First of all, I need to say that. If I say wife, miracle. If I say mother, miracle. If I say writer, miracle. If I say minister, miracle. If I say counselor, miracle. If I say any role in my life is a miracle. That none of these accolades or titles come on, based on my own doing. These are all titles that were assigned to me by God. And there is not enough strength and creativity and savviness inside of me that could have called me to be in the position that I am in right now to be those things. And when I want to explore how I've even gotten to those point of having some of those titles, I want you to also be thinking about who you are. Wait, first of all, where you came from, who you are right now, and where you are trying to go. So those are the things that I want you to think about as I'm sharing a little bit of my testimony, and then we'll move into the work that I do with women under what's called Metamorphosis. She's got her wings. And that is a beautiful creative expression ministry that God has blessed me with, that I believe through creativity and expression, we are able to do some of the healing work within ourselves in order for us to get where God would have us to be. And so, like I said, first I just want to share just a little bit about, you know, who I am at this point. As a minister, I do have a scripture that is my go-to to always remind me of why I accepted the call on my life, and that is Isaiah 61, which is, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So that is my go-to scripture, is all of that. That whole scripture talks about why God called me specifically and what my intentions and motivations are in regards to ministry, that I want to preach good tidings to the poor. And the poor is not just financially poor. It's the poor in spirit. It's the poor in heart. It's the poor in mind, those who have been depleted of what they need just to function on a daily basis, you know, to heal the brokenhearted. So many things happen in our lives that break our hearts. You know, sometimes it's our parents, it's friends, it's siblings, it's our first love. It's so many things, the church, you know, so many things can cause us to be brokenhearted due to us being in a fallen world. So, you know, I believe that there are times where God sends me to the brokenhearted and sends the brokenhearted to me to facilitate that healing, whether it's professionally or through ministry. And again, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. And again, sin binds us. You know, when we're hurt, when we're afflicted by sin, it binds us. And what happens is when we're binded, we can't be who we truly are. So sometimes that hurt that heartache, that rejection, the fear, all of those things that come out of sin binds us, and we're bound so that we can't walk the way we need to walk, talk the way we need to talk, be who it is that we were created to be. So as a minister, I always look to help those deal with those issues in their lives that have them bound so that they can be free to be. So, and of course, at the end of that scripture, it talks about that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And this is the key, that he may be glorified, that God may be glorified. This is not about me. This is not about Chanel. This is not about getting accolades and recognition or anything. That all that I am called to, and I believe it's about Chanel as well, is so that God can be glorified. We want to facilitate healing and change in others so that God can be glorified, so that they can't say it's only because of Aisha or it's only because of Chanel, it's only because of our pastor, it's only no, we want God to get the glory. We want people to be able to say, wow, I prayed and I sought help, and he may have sent people, he may have sent information and different things, but it's only through God. So we want him to get the glory. So I wanted to explain that so that as you are listening, that you understand that I'm sharing my testimony that God may be glorified. I'm not sharing my testimony today. And Chanel, again, I want to thank you because I have been personally praying for a safe space, a platform where it would be safe to unapologetically share my testimony, because it's not always safe in every environment to tell people where you've come from, because people like to use your past against you. Amen. And so I always say, God, whenever you want me to share my testimony, how you want me to share it, with whom, is up to you. So that my life will not be exploited for others. You feel me, sis?
Yeah.
So that was very important for me. So today, as I think about that, so what direction do I go in when I'm thinking about what I want to offer to you all today so that you can have a takeaway from this time with together? And that is the work that I've done in the community with women of color called Metamorphosis. And with Metamorphosis, She's Got Her Wings, was something that God placed in me because I'm a creative person. I love being creative. I love writing and being artsy and all that crazy stuff. I dance and I draw, and I just love art. And I've always been creative. And it's funny because my creativity was birthed through my rebelliousness as a child. I always used to draw my mom and my dad cute little pictures and write them poems. I mean, as both of my parents have passed away and I've gotten some of their writings and bins, I've found, you know, letters and poems that I wrote them, pictures I've drawn them. And it just was like, wow, they held on to these things. But also, when I used to get on punishment a lot as a teenager, I was a bad teenager. I was out of control, off the chain. Chanel can tell you, we can testify, that we got in a lot of trouble as teenagers. And whenever I got on punishment, which was quite often, my mom made me write. She would just say, go in your room, and I want you to write a story. And in that story, I want you to write about a girl who did what you did and how she can come out better after this experience. And I used to be like, really? But that was cultivating my creativity. My mom was a wise mother, and she knew I was a creative person. So what did she do? She tied me down, but she made me use what was in me to help me make better choices and decisions moving forward. So even in my rebelliousness, I want you all to hear that, even in my rebelliousness, that I had a mother who was able to sit me down, which means stop me from bearing down a path that was destructive for me, fighting in the streets, going to house parties that were getting raided by police, hanging in communities where there were drive-by shootings happening every night, dating guys who were in the hood and all of those things. She would have to pull me from that, but she didn't just pull me from it. She sat me down, tucked me away, and then made me be creative. She made me pull out what was in me so that I can make better choices and decisions moving forward. That's what a wise mother would do, because all my mom was doing was setting me up for a relationship with God. That's what a parent is to do. You see, when we spoil our children and give them whatever they want, don't give them rules, don't give them boundaries or anything like that, we are setting them up to be lawless children that will run wild and will have no structure and respect for authority. Therefore, they will not be able to have a real solid relationship with God if we allow children to be spoiled. So we need to discipline. We need to teach. We need to set boundaries. We need to be okay with not being liked by our children sometimes, because they need that structure the same way God does with us. God cannot allow us to run lawlessly and just do whatever we want, when we want, how we want, because that would set us up for failure. And then we would not be able to manifest the very reason why we were born. But we all have a purpose. And so I want you to think about all of that. And so when I think about metamorphosis, I thought about that women, specifically women of color, we endure so much pain, hurt, disappointment, and traumas, and all in between, which causes a number of issues within us, fear, anger, bitterness, frustration, hopelessness. So many different emotions are birthed out of those events that sometimes happen in our lives that inflict wounds upon us. And so what it does is that, again, it binds us. It doesn't allow us to be who we truly are. Then when we look at the impact of sin on communities and families, women have had to take on other roles. Sometimes the oldest daughter has to take care of the siblings. The mothers sometimes have to be both mom and dad, which we know is a very difficult task. You know, sometimes there's a daughter who has to date somebody with money to help pay bills. I mean, there's so many things that happen when you grow up specifically in poverty that forces young women to have to take on ways and attitudes and behaviors that wouldn't naturally have happened if they weren't in the environments that they are in. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the environments that you grew up in and how those environments brought the good out of you, but it also caused you to have to alter your natural state for the sake of survival. And so when we think about that, so when we talk about metamorphosis, you know, metamorphosis is the life cycle of a butterfly. I've always loved butterflies. As a child, I never knew that that would have something to do with my purpose, but I was always drawn to butterflies. And then I went to first grade, and that's when I learned about metamorphosis. And I tell you, I used to sing metamorphosis all day throughout the house. Over and over and over again until my brothers and sisters would say, shut up, you know. But I was drawn to the idea of something could start off one way and then become something totally different. And even when you think about a butterfly, something could start off so ugly and icky and squirmy and become something that is beautiful and vibrant and has the ability to fly. So, I mean, I was always drawn to that idea. So then as I started to grow in ministry and, you know, wrote books and just did different things, this is when I started to think about how can I combine creativity with my passion for the facilitating healing in women. And I was turned to 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so when I heard that scripture, then metamorphosis came back to my mind, and I said, whoa, this is where it comes together. This is the space where creativity, purpose, and God's plan for his people all begin to come together, which is where I begin to birth metamorphosis. She's got her wings. So what I want to ask you all to do is, if you have your writing utensil or your – and first, let me pause for a minute. Chanel, I just shared a lot. Did you have any thoughts or anything that you wanted to add before I go into breaking down this metamorphosis?
So one thing I wanted to share with you all is that it's okay to embrace wherever it is that you come from. Acknowledge it because it's a part of the plan. It's all a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that. Mm-hmm. So as Aisha gets into this, breaking it down, just be open to embrace the process.
Yes, yes. And yes, that's, thank you so much, Chanel, because that is very important. One word that I will throw at you is shame.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Chanel was blessed to co-author, a book that deals with this thing called shame and how trauma and abuse and sin and all of those things, with all of those things create shame in us. And what it does is that once that shame attaches itself to you, it smothers your testimony. It hinders your ability to speak your truth. And it's only through our testimonies, it's only through us being okay with embracing the truth of where we came from, the truth of who we are, is where we can, first and foremost, we can be set free, but then we can have the audacity to help others be set free. So we have to rid ourselves of that shame. You know, that was the reason why Jesus died on the cross, so that shame could come off of us and that we can be okay with pressing forward regardless of the mistakes that we make, regardless of when we just don't quite get it right. Because shame can bind you. It could put shackles on your feet and make you not move forward because you feel bad about yourself. Oh, no. See, I done messed up again. I can't do it. I can't even be who God says I am. Oh, man, because of where I came from, I can't do nothing. You know. So, yes, thank you, Chanel, that it's important. Be okay. Be okay with embracing this because it's only through truth that you are able to really be set free. The Word of God even tells us that. So when we think about metamorphosis, we start with the egg. All of us, each and every one of us starts as an egg. You know, you're made up of your mother and your father. You know, they come together, they consummate, and then they create what is called you. And here you are, this little tiny being in the womb of the mother that God chose for you. So here you are, this tiny little being, and you're made up of two people. Those two people come with a whole lot. You know, they come with a lot of good stuff. And then they come with their hurts, their traumas, their pains, their things that got passed on to them. So here you are, this little being inside of the womb of the mother that God chose for you, and you're made up of these two human beings, and all that comes with them is inside of you. That's powerful. You know, the process of childbirth never gets old to me. That is just miraculous that a human being can grow inside of another human being is just mind-blowing. So for those who don't believe in God, I just don't know, outside of the miracle of life itself, I don't know what else you need to understand that only a God that powerful can take two human beings, bring them together through one drop, can make another human being powerful. Anyway, so then here we are. We're made up of two people. And again, those two people come with a lot. They come with a lot of powerful, beautiful gifts, but they also come with their own traumas that they've endured prior to even coming together to make you. And then sometimes the process of them making you came with trauma. Sometimes the process of them even coming together was a traumatic experience. So then that is in you as well. So when the Word tells us that we're born in sin, it's only because when we come forth, we're coming forth with all of that. Yes, we're coming forth with our purpose. You know, Jeremiah tells us that, you know, he knew who you were before you were formed in your mother's womb. And then 29:11 also tells us that he knows the plans that he has for you because he created you. And so all of that came with you when you were born, all of that. So then we're grown up into these environments. This is when we start to go from an egg into a caterpillar. So for you, I want you to first draw your egg, and I want you to think about your mother and your father. Who birthed you? Write his name. Write her name. And begin to think about all that came with them. If you don't know who your father is, that means something. So you're going to write that also. that's a blank space. That came with you. That's to understand that. So think about your mother. Think about all that came with her, all the gifts and beauty that's in her, but also think about some of the pains that came with her through generational stuff, through lineage. So think about that. So think about who your mother or your father is. Write the good, but also write some of the most difficult aspects. Because then we move into environment. Environment is so important. Environment is, first and foremost, the first environment was your mother's womb. What was her state of mind? What was her emotional state? What was her health like? Where did she live? What type of foods was she taking in? Because that was your environment even before you came here. So you were already being cultivated in an environment, thinking about what was that environment like? As your body is forming, as your limbs are forming, as your teeth are forming, as the hairs on your head are forming inside of that environment, what was that environment like? And then as you come forth through the womb into this life, then you're born into an environment. That's the hospital you were born in. That's even the household that you're living in and where that household resides, where the community that you're in, the city that you're a part of, the state that you're a part of, the society that you're born in. That means a lot, the time that you were born in, the environment that you were born in is important because all of that influences who you are becoming as you're going along. So here you are a caterpillar. That means you're a child. You're a teen, you're a young person, you're a young woman or man, and you're making your way through all of these environments. And as you're making your way, depending on the environment that you're in, you have to learn how to survive. Here you are a caterpillar. You're on the ground, and you're trying to eat, sleep, and just do the basics to survive. And it, depending on the environment you're in, like myself, the environment that we grew up in, Chanel and I, was not necessarily a safe environment. We grew up in a community where there was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of drug addiction. There was incest in this community. There was a lot of fights all the time, all these fights in the community. And that wasn't just the children. The adults would be in the streets fighting. And it was just so much chaos and confusion. But in that community also were women who had beautiful homes. They took good care of, they looked beautiful. We used to have community days, so we had times where we could exercise our talents, where we would dance and sing. And we saw women in the community who served the community. So even though we had those negative images, there were some positive images that we took in also. So all of that influenced us. But as we became teens and we had to learn to fend for ourselves, when we realized it's not safe to just be a happy-go-lucky, go-with-the-flow type of person in the community that we grew up in. Because I've always been artsy and super smart in school and all of those things. And Chanel was always creative and a very sweet person and always a dreamer, always talking about businesses and different things. So we always were the way that we are now, but we realized we weren't safe. That's where the alterations began to come into play because we had to protect who we truly were. We didn't want to lose who we truly were. We didn't realize that. We didn't want to lose. We wanted to preserve who we truly were. So what we did was we created a different part of us, that the protector, the Ish and the Nellies, that protected the true Aisha and the true Chanel. And that came with hoodies. That came with Tims. That came with, whatever armor we had to put on to protect ourselves. We lined ourselves up with dangerous men because even though they were dangerous and not safe, and sometimes not even safe to us, there was a sense of protection because we were a part of their village, per se. We were the young women that were a part of their crew or their village. So to an extent, we felt protected from some of the outside threats. But threat still existed even within those villages because sometimes we had to protect ourselves against them. So as you can see, when you think about those layers of protection, the more layers of protection we put on ourselves, the more we bury our true selves. And some at some point along the way, so let me pause. So think about you. Think about the environment that you grew up in, whether it's your home life or the community that you were in, the schools that you went to, the broader city that you were a part of. Which did those environments inform you about who you are and how you survive, how you make it? What did those environments tell you, and how did that shape you into becoming or altering your natural self for the sake of survival? Think about that. Think about who you truly are and how you had to adjust for the sake of survival based on the environments that you are in. Sometimes, even if you grew up in a nice neighborhood, sometimes it's your very family that you had to protect yourself from. Even if you had a good family and a good community, sometimes the schools weren't safe, so you had to reshape yourself to survive within your school settings. Even if all of those were in place, you were a part of a larger city that if you stepped outside of certain boundaries and parameters, it wasn't safe, then you had to adapt yourself. So because of sin, all of us have been in environments that were not safe. And we have to think about how do we alter ourselves in order to survive. So think about that for yourself. Think about your caterpillar stage when you were focused on survival. So then the next stage is the cocoon. This is the interesting stage. This is the stage I would say a lot of us are in right now. And that you decided that where you grew up, the relationships that you were in, the generational stuff, all of that, you no longer wanted that to influence you. You know, you start to feel wings inside of you. You're like, hold up, I'm here, but I feel power inside of me. I feel purpose inside of me. I got dreams. I got visions. I know there's more to me than where I am right now. Because when I look around, who I am is not lining up with the environment that I'm in. So at some point, you say, I need more for myself, and I have to do whatever I got to do to get to that true self. And when I tell you, sisters and brothers who are listening, this comes at a cost to find who you truly are and then to embrace it. It comes at a cost. It is not easy. At times, it can be downright painful. It can feel torturous. It can be dark. It can be isolating like the cocoon. The cocoon is a tight, dark space. And sometimes it can feel like, how could me becoming who I was created to be, how could it feel like this in this dark, tight, isolating, lonely space? It doesn't make sense. But there's so much that's happening during this time. So first it's your decision that you want more for yourself. That you no longer want to keep in these relationships that are not good for you. You no longer want to live in these spaces that hinder your ability to exercise. That could be a job. That could be anything, any environment that's hindering your growth. You decide, I got to move. I want to be who I was created to be. That's where the cocoon happens. So you enter into this dark, tight space. And I tell you, and Chanel, you can attest to this, that when you begin that work, it can become so overwhelming if you don't have people around you who will pour into you, who will pray for you, who will remind you, who will hold you accountable, who will tell you don't give up. It's so important to remove those voices of those who want to remind you where you came from. Because, see, you're trying to move forward. And they want to keep reminding you, oh, but you did this, and how you think you're going here, and you did that, and you can't do that because of this. And then you got your own shame inside of you telling you, oh, but look at you, look at where you came from, and look at what happened to you. You're not good enough for that purpose. So there's so much happening during that time, and the importance of having people around you who truly, truly care about you. And I don't mean out of their mouth. In the meanwhile, they really want something from you, or they have a hidden agenda to fulfill their own purposes or intentions. I talk about people who really care about you. You know, Chanel's platform is selfless love. And I mean, I talk about people who selflessly love you, that they will cry with you. They will walk with you. They will fight for you in the spirit. I mean, good, sound people around you during this time, because it can be very, very difficult as God begins to remove those parts of you that no longer serve a purpose.
And
I need you to take that in.
I would like to speak on that really quickly. So something was just laid on my spirit in regards to those who may feel like they don't have that person, right? And so sometimes during this process, you may feel like you are very alone, because sometimes it can be very lonely, right? But in those moments where you feel like, you know, you've had to cut people off because it just wasn't feeding you, your spirit, you know, it was negativity, it was pulling you down. If you or you feel like you are in that space, I would like to please tell you all that sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to just encourage yourself, speak over yourself. And what I mean by that is, I'm telling you, there's times that I had to literally say, you know what? Because I believed in me. I loved me. You know, I may not have loved me completely, but I loved me. And when I was going through, or, you know, I lost people along the way, people I thought were friends, but they were really associates. They didn't mean me no good and things like that. I literally had found myself a few times in a space where I had to encourage myself. But always, you know, try to seek to be around people that are like-minded, that can help you, like Minister Aisha is telling you all. You know, find somebody that you feel safe to speak with, and be careful who you speak with. Make sure it's somebody that you can trust, somebody that is spiritual, or, you know, you know they have a good heart, they're sincere about what they do, and it doesn't have to be somebody you know.
That's right. It can be counseling.
Yes, it can be a counselor. That's right. It can be a counselor. That's right. So, yes, I just wanted to speak on that because that's very important, too. You know, a lot of times I've heard, you know, during coaching or just people I'm speaking with, and they'll say, well, what if you don't have anybody? What if I can't find nobody? Don't give up. That's when it's time for you to encourage yourself. Speak over your own self, your life. I am worthy. I love me. You know, I will get through this. I mean, you have to talk to yourself. Inspire and help and embrace your own self.
And that's right, Chanel, because that's when you know who God will send to help you, because their voice, their words will line up with what God has already been speaking to your heart and your soul.
Amen.
That's why it is important to have that time with God within that cocoon space. Just with you and God, just with you and God, because he's going to be pouring a lot into you. You know, as he's pulling out, he's pouring in. As he's pulling out, he's pouring in. As he's pulling out, he's pouring in. And so there's a lot that's going to be coming into you and depositing into you about who you truly are versus who the world made you to be. And it's scary, because I know when I prayed for healing, I thought God was going to just put his hand on my head and I was going to be healed and have everything he had for me. And it didn't work that way. What he did was he made me look in the mirror. And when I looked in the mirror, he showed me that I looked nothing like who he created me to be. Nothing. And I don't mean my hair and my how I looked, but I was looked nothing like how he saw me. So it was I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I was all right. You know, I always kept a decent little job. I always was a good mom. I always took care of my parents, you know. I thought I was cool. And then when he made me really look in the mirror and see how far off I was, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. So the need to have that time just with God to let him pull out from you but pour into you. So then when God brings you a village, because there is, now you are correct, there is a time when he wants you all to himself. You will be alone because he wants to be the dominant voice inside of you. So that way when people come, you know the ones that God sent and the ones that are distractions. Because the words will line up with what God has already told you. And if it doesn't line up, then you don't have to be rude to people, but you just keep them in a proper perspective. Because some people are just meant to be acquaintances. Some people are meant to be business promoters. Some people have different purposes. They don't necessarily need to be the ones who are helping you to become who God created you to be. That's a very sensitive space. So, and that's very specific. So when you think about your time that you have in the cocoon, in order for you to become who you truly are, it's critical. It's a vulnerable time. It's a sensitive time. Yet it is a powerful time. Because now you're starting to grow. You're starting to see yourself and life and relationships from a whole new perspective. I mean, it's like, whoa. I never thought, or I didn't see, or oh my goodness. And I mean, it's such a powerful time, but it is a tight space. So sometimes you might be trying to move too fast. There was somebody gave an analogy about a farmer who was on his farm, and he saw a butterfly inside of the cocoon trying to get out, and it was pushing its wings up against the thing and trying to get out. And so he thought he was helping the butterfly. And so he swatted the cocoon, and the butterfly fell and died. It was because it wasn't time. That it might feel like it's time. You feel your wings. You feel things growing. You're seeing things differently. But still, the environment might not be ready for you. It just might not be time for you to come out. So timing is very important. And so, again, it's careful to have people around you who know you and your journey and your process, because you might be trying to shift too fast or do something. I mean, they might be like, wait a minute, hold up. Let's pause. Let's just make sure that this lines up with where God's trying to take you. Because if you move too quick, you can fall, because your wings might be there, but they're not ready to fly. And so it's very important. Timing is important. So then once you do the work, boom, here you come. You come out. And you are a totally new creature. You have these beautiful wings. You have purpose. You have a clear perspective of who you are. You have an ability to fly and soar and go places you could have never seen yourself, ever. And it's like, wow. So you went from being this small little tiny little thing inside of your mother's womb made up of these two human beings to being a caterpillar that's getting all types of stuff stuck on you and filth and gook and pain and hurt and everything, to going into the cocoon to allow the healing process, the restorative process to happen, and then boom, out you come. And now you're on display, and the people that knew you before can say, wow, if God did it with her, I know he could do it with me. Or you could just say, and your children get to see, and those others that God will send you to, you could tell them, no, don't get caught up in what you see right now. I used to be here. This is why we have to share our testimonies. When people meet me, they don't have a clue, Chanel, what I've been through. All they see is I'm a minister. I'm educated, I have a good husband, I own a home, you know, I have kids, you know, they don't see what I went through to get here.
Yes.
The only way they'll see it and know it is if I share it. And so when I tell you I was born of two Muslims. I was born of a Muslim man and a Muslim woman who were civil rights activists. And they taught me about where my people came from and the things that we went through and the expectations that we should have and all of those things. But they were a hurt man, a woman. They both had been through a lot. You know, they had pain and fear upon them. So all of that came on me, too. So they gave me gifts and jewels and power and wisdom. They gave me much. But they also gave me a lot of their pain and their fears, you know? And then the environment that I grew up in, like I said, caused me to really veer away from what I truly knew, you know, and start using alcohol and sex and all these other things to try to navigate and make my way through life and numb myself and not really feel the truth of things and all of that. And, you know, ended up a teen mom and an abusive relationship and those abusive relationships started to multiply. So then the alcohol usage increased. You know, so going from being a promiscuous and alcoholic who didn't know myself but was still productive. I always kept a decent job, always kept my own house and, you know, and different things. But every time God would bring me back down to where I would have to move back in with family or start all over again. He will always chop me back down because I wasn't leaning on him. I was leaning on what I thought I already had, my intelligence and ability to speak. I tried to use those things, but I wasn't leaning on God. You remember that was that rap song, Independent, I-N-D-E-P-E-N. You know, the girls used to love singing that. And I was that type of woman that I could take care of myself and my daughter. I don't need nobody and da-da-da-da-da. But God kept breaking that down. He kept cutting me down and saying, do you? Do you really? And it wasn't until one of my other friends got saved and she invited me to church and I walked in and I knew I was home. I knew this was my cocoon space. I knew it. I knew it. I'm telling you, sisters and brothers, everything that I was taught was in opposition to that church when I walked in there. I was taught that Jesus was not the Son of God. I was taught that you don't go into churches. I was taught that the men and women in church were hypocrites and, you know, they couldn't be trusted and all of those things. I was taught all that. But here is where God planted me to be cultivated, to learn who I truly was. So do you know how hard I had to go past what I had been taught in order to embrace the truth of who Christ is in our world, in our universe, but in me? It took everything. I got my family talked about me. They laughed at me. They verbally abused me. I went through a lot and rejected and everything for accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I knew it was worth the cost. I knew I had to go through this in order to become who I truly was. So when I went in that cocoon and I began to really learn who God is, who Jesus is, who I am, it's only now that I'm this butterfly. So I need you all to understand that he did it. God did it, not me. Because if it was based on how I grew up and what I was taught, I wouldn't be here. If it was based on the environment that I grew up in, I wouldn't be here. If it was based on how I seen myself, I wouldn't be here. So when I tell you wife, miracle. When I tell you mother, miracle. When I tell you counselor, miracle. When I tell you minister, miracle. When I tell you published author, miracle. When I tell you producer of Metamorphosis, miracle. All of this is a miracle. And it was only through me embracing this metamorphosis process that I have been able to come to be, even here on this line right now with my sister. So
amen.
I want to encourage all of you to think about who you are, where you came from, what influenced who you became, who you want to be, and the work that needs to happen in order for you to get there. Because we all have a purpose. We all have wings. We all have spots on our wings that nobody else has. We're all uniquely made for a particular purpose. But we have to go through the process. We can't skip steps. We can't lean on our own strength. But with God, we can do all things. And so, again, before we open it up for comments and questions, think about that scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? So,
amen.
Chanel, I just want to open up for discussion. I mean, I've been sharing, and I hope that I'm hoping that our time, you know, together encourages someone else by them understanding, Chanel, that where we came from and where we are, and that we're still striving, we're still working through, we're still learning truly who we are, even at this point.
It's amazing. I mean, even like being, you know, 44 years old, you know, it's another growth. It's another, I'm still like, embracing a 44-year-old woman from coming from where we came from and being in the spiritual realm and having a strong relationship with the Lord, you know, I'm getting glimpses of what I look like in God's eyes. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's a journey. It's a process, you know. And so even with that, it's like embracing this new woman, because you get of yourself daily. You shed of your own self daily, especially when you're in the spirit and when you have a relationship with the Lord, you know, and you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect.
Yes.
You just have
to trust the
Lord, trust the process, you know, embrace the process. It takes self-accountability.
Yes.
It takes self-accountability. This is the thing, too, I'm going to touch on, and then I'll let you, you know, we can open up. But one of the things I wanted to say also is that when you're going through this process, you know, from where you come from, right, and then where you are, and then where you're going, once you get over the where you come from and where you are is already a step forward, okay? Because you made it. You made it through the process of where you come from.
That's right.
You have to forgive. You have to forgive because everybody didn't come from the same type of place, environment, you know, family. So you have to forgive, but you also, when you forgive whoever it was, whatever it was, you also forgive yourself. When you get to the who you are, that's accountability, self-growth, self-care, self-love, accountability, loving God, you know, obtaining, if you don't already have a relationship with God, growing in the Lord, and then where you're going, you have to embrace it. You have to believe it. You have to trust in it. You have to trust the Lord.
And so, and like you even said, Chanel, those daily affirmations, you know, it's a daily thing.
Yes.
That, you know, as soon as you wake up, you know, you just start to speak to yourself. You know, I am who God says I am. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I do have a plan and a purpose for my life. You know, just start to speak to yourself. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. You know, just over and over again, speak that truth, because just as sure as you're speaking the truth, we already know that the enemy of God is already planning your trip up for that day.
Yes.
So, you know, you definitely want to wake up and begin to speak that to yourself and spend that good quality time with the Lord before you pick up. I always tell the moms in the mom group, will always tell you, I always say, and even in ministry, before you even pick up that phone, before you do anything, spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. That your time with the Lord coats your mind. It coats it. It like puts like almost like a salve or oil over your mind, so that anything that comes after that, you'll have a proper perspective on it. Because otherwise, if you go straight into watching TV, straight into answering your phone or texting or anything, your perspective is already going to be distorted. So you got to keep things in proper. Before you touch anything, when you open those eyes, speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Say a few positive affirmations. You know, I personally have a whole morning process before my family and everybody gets up. I get up relatively early, and I have a whole process because of the responsibilities that I have in my life. And so it's important that you coat your mind. Coat your mind, especially during this time, because we're dealing with so many distractions and, you know, so many lies and falsehoods and having to be able to discern what is truth and what isn't. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And we're having to raise families in the midst of it. So we want to be clear. So the only way we can be clear is if we're tuning into God first before we tune into anything else.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to open up the line, and any and everyone who is on, if there's background noise, if you do not want to speak, then I would say continue to have your phone on mute, okay? But I'm opening up so.
Hello, Chanel? Chanel, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I am back.
Okay.
somehow the phone, this never happened before, but it's all right. I'm getting ready to put everybody on live so that we can do a Q&A.
Okay.
If there's any background noise where you are, just continue to keep your phone on mute. Okay, welcome everyone. You are all on live now. So if you would like to say anything, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and start.
Good morning, Minister Aisha and Coach Chanel.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on today. This was so important for me to hear the word of truth and the word of God being delivered like you two have delivered it. Sometimes we get caught in ourselves, even us who know the word. You know, we forget sometimes mm-hmm. about our past and how to help us men, you know, as we minister to the world. You know, we forget our mm-hmm. pain and hurt. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you
yeah.
can, you know, like you said, take time and spend time with the Lord and, you know, repent and just thank God for this day. For it is amazing how you were right, Minister Aisha, that, you know, your day is protected. God has put that protective shield over you as you go because you thought about him first. You gave him your relationship, you know, talk, the daughter talk. And I just want to thank you all so much for this special day here, you know, because it is mm-hmm. hard for some of us to, you know, share, you know, our testimony, you know, on
yeah.
how heavy it can be or, you know, what he has, you know, what we want to share because so many people relate to our circumstances of what we went through in life. We want to be careful as well, you know, that we don't spill mm-hmm. over too much, but enough to, you know, get them to listen.
Yeah.
So your service today has truly touched my spirit and has awakened
mm-hmm.
me, you know, to deal with self. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we always want to run out there and help someone else, but we still could be,
mm-hmm.
you know, we still haven't came mm-hmm. to that place of true healing. And this is why mm-hmm. the Bible tells us that we have to come together. You know, we have
yes.
to, you know, listen and share. You know, our sins and our repentance and our testimony. So today, I just
mm-hmm.
want to thank you both for, you know, having this podcast today. And glory be, and just keep doing what you're doing because I'm still learning. And I'm glad that, you know, that I know you too as my daughters, of course, you know.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, and I love you. I love you so much, and I miss you.
I'm coming underneath you, sweetie, because, like I said, we still have things we have to deal with concerning,
yes.
you know, the movement of our spirit and where the Holy Spirit is trying to get us. And if we don't get ourselves really cleaned out, you know, we have
yes.
a stumbling block. So, and
yes.
so I definitely want to touch base with you and, you
yes.
know, just listen, you know, time to listen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? You can go on ahead and speak if there's anything you want to share, any encouragement.
Can you hear me?
Anything? Yes,
I can hear you. Oh, hi, this is Kalika, and I am so honored to meet you, Chanel, and I know Minister Aisha, and I'm so appreciative and grateful for the people that God has placed in my life. I don't even know you, Coach Chanel, but God has placed you in my life for a reason and other people also.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys
Amen.
Are really right about accepting yourself and holding yourself accountable because if you can't hold yourself accountable, you can't grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yes.
in the role you may or may not have played in things that happened in your life. But if you didn't
mm-hmm.
play a role forgiving people and things
mm-hmm.
and knowing it was part of God's plan for him to shape
mm-hmm.
you and mold you and prune you and fine-tune you, and that is reason why you need to seek God first and pray first so that you can be tuned to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
as Minister Aisha said, you know, you could be ready to come out of that cocoon, but you think you are, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can disrupt other people also by doing that unintentionally.
So, you know,
I'm appreciative at this point in my life for the process. And, you know, shame is a big thing, too, because we don't want people to know our secrets and, you know, things we've been through, even if it was beyond our control, because we feel shameful. Like, we don't, we just were afraid. And, you know, but I'm grateful that I don't have that fear anymore, because what you went through may save somebody else's life.
Amen.
So,
You're welcome, and you know, I'm excited to have you on as well, and I can't wait to meet you all in person. But yeah, so the enemy always tries to keep us bound in that, right? Because he does not want us to know our true purpose. That's the fight. The fight is he knows. He knows who we are. He knows who God made us to be. And so he tries to keep us bound in that so that we won't move. But guess what? That's the fight, and we will win, right?
Amen.
We will win. God already knows the victory, but we got to get through it.
Always going to be a process. Storms is always going to come.
Yes.
But if you ask God to keep you in the eye of the storm, you will be fine. We are going to suffer as Christians. It's just going to happen. Period. There is God's plan, man. We live on earth. So things are going to happen to you. Devastation is going to happen to you.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that God is not going to keep you in
those
times.
That's
And
that's his promise. That is his promise. He will keep us. And that's what we have to lean on. And that the word tells us we will have trials and tribulations. You know that we will, but we trust God. We trust God in the midst of it all. And I love that He'll pray for Him to keep you in the eye of the storm. So that way, you know that we know where we will be covered and protected in the midst of it all. Thank you, Kalika, so much. And it's always a blessing to hear your voice.
you guys also have a blessed week.
You too. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Do we have anyone else that would like to speak?
And it's okay. If there aren't any more questions or comments, I do hope that you wrote down, you know, those points that I would like for you all to take with you to process further for yourself, those stages, you know, again, your age, your parents, who you came from, the caterpillar, the environments that you grew up in, and how that shaped, informed, and influenced who you are, how you viewed yourself, and your cocoon, your tight space, where the real work happens, the healing work, the transformative work, and then the butterfly, who you want to become, how you see yourself, how you believe your purpose will be made manifest, and how it will touch the lives of others. So start to think about those things, and that's just a little template that you can use during your exploration, and to remind you that you do have a purpose. God does have a plan for your life. If He did it for me and Chanel, I promise you, He could do it for you. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you come from. That we are all still a work in progress, and we will continue on towards the mark. Right, Chanel?
That's right. We just have to remain steadfast.
Yes.
And trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. So do you want to pray us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, thank you, Chanel, for your platform. May God continue to bless you and all that you touch. And I look forward to when He brings us together again to touch the lives of others. I believe He has kept us close for a reason. And for a time such as this, most importantly. So let us pray.
Amen.
Almighty and gracious God, I just bless your holy name even now, O Lord. I thank you for this time that you have allowed us to come before your people, O Lord, just to pour out a little of what it is that you have poured into us, O God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you have done in each of us, all that you are doing and all that you are going to do, O God. You are such a great God. You are a healing God. You are a restoring God. You are a providing God. And for that, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you continue to do in our lives. Thank you for being our keeper, O God, in the midst of all the storms, O Lord. I ask that you bless each and every woman that is on this line, O God. You shaped and molded each of them. You created each of them. You know the plans that you have for their lives. And I ask, O Lord, that you just thwart any plan of the enemy to try to stop your plan for them, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Even now, O God, I ask that you bless Chanel, O Lord. I ask that you meet each and every one of her needs, O Lord. May there be no lack in her life, O God. I pray that you heal every hurt area in her life, O Lord. I pray that you restore every area of her life that the enemy thought he took from her, O God. I pray increase over her and all attached to her, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, for her mother, her sisters, and her brothers, O God. I pray over her lineage, O Lord, that you may be glorified for the work that you are doing in, with, and through them, O God. I thank you, O Lord, for choosing me, O God, for a time such as this. I thank you for delivering me from the hands of the enemy, O God, and placing me within your realm, O God, that I'm able to serve you, that you can use any part of me, O God, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. I pray for this land, O God. I pray that you heal the land, restore the people, and reveal your truth, O God, that you will get the glory at the end of this season that we're in as a nation, as a world, O God. We know, O God, that the enemy is busy, but God, you are greater. So we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for all that you are doing, O Lord. And it is in Jesus' mighty name that I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everyone, yes. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay covered in the blood. Stay covered, protected in the blood. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the listeners. Thank you for those who will be listening later. I pray for everybody's family, everyone connected to us. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for coming on the Selfless Love Talk Show with your coach, with Coach Chanel Budd and Minister Aisha Bulls. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. To God be the glory.
Amen.
All right.
Yes,
be blessed, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.